Welcome to the Audio Excursion.
Welcome back to another installment of the Vinyl Community Podcast. I'm David Bianco from the Safe and Sound Texas Audio Excursion YouTube channel. My most recent excursion was actually a local one. The Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area was host to an inaugural audio fest called the Southwest Audio Fest from March 15th through March 17th. This particular fest is like ones that are held on the East Coast and West Coast during the year and also in Chicago. I also had one recently in Florida. So these are across the country at various places. The two gentlemen that put this together, Gary Gill and Lou Hinckley, actually are responsible for the Capital Audio Fest on the East Coast and the Pacific Audio Fest, which is in the Seattle area. I'm going to be interviewing those gents shortly and talking to them about their effort to bring this show here to the Dallas area and their future plans. Now, if you've never been to an audio fest, these are basically set up in a way where there's a lobby where you register and various vendors in the audio realm who are in the lobby area or rooms on the main floor, and there also are potential listening rooms on that floor, as there are on some floors of the actual hotel. Now, in this case, this was at the Hilton Anatole, which is a very luxurious hotel campus in Dallas, Texas, and it in fact was one that had the 12th and 14th floors reserved for audio listening rooms. So you pick up a program and you come into it after registering, and you basically get a list of where different providers are going to be located in what rooms, and you start to mill around and go through these rooms and sample listening. It's not wine sampling, it's auditory sampling. And so there's a variety of equipment that is in these rooms based potentially on who the distributors of them might be or who has put together a system to represent what they think is the best sound. And there's chairs set up in this room, and you come in and you can listen to what already is playing, or if there's a quiet spot between playing of different tracks, you can walk up and talk to the reps and even possibly suggest a track that you'd like to hear because maybe it's something you know and you want to hear how different it sounds in your system. A lot of the source material for this actually comes through streaming, and then they go through, you know, a streaming box or DAC, and they come out, of course, through the amplification to the speakers that are there. And again, these are really high-end systems. These are components that can cost thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. So it's a little bit of rarefied air, but it also is showing the potential of what better components can do. So the opportunity is there for you potentially to listen to things that you know, you to take in basically more than just the sound, but the information about the equipment, the design of the equipment. I showed a video on my channel recently of a speaker design that was kind of unique, for example. So these are places for learning and listening and getting information. It's also an opportunity for us to interact with other people in the hi-fi audio community and to interact with them based on possibly similar equipment, similar interests, and maybe things that they're looking for that we might know, or vice versa. So the camaraderie is important. A lot of people who come in from out of town obviously stay at the hotel overnight. There are events in the evening related to food and drink and related to listening to music or talks. There are talks during the day that one can attend. To give you an example of what some of those are, Friday the topics were, what's up with analog tape? Another one was called Deep in the Groove. And the third one was called Recording Technologies. And then on the second day, Saturday, they had Field Coil Technologies Q&A that has to do with speaker design. Had one called Electrostatic Technologies about electrostatic loudspeakers and their technology today and their history. There was one on optimizing audio streaming and one about new music on tape, where tapes are starting to get released for higher end reproduction and listening pleasure. And then Sunday, the discussions were record cleaning discussion from Charles Kermis and his famous record restoration system. There was a session on how does your playback system stack up, comparing the different important components and how they rank based on what type of equipment you have and whether or not it is in fact something that is on the leading edge or the bleeding edge or maybe a vintage technology. And the last one was by our good friend Jose Ramirez, Dr. Vinyl, on turntable setup. And I attended that one. That one was very interesting as well. So we have these sessions you can go to, these evening events, these listening rooms that you go from one room to the other. And that's basically the way this goes. I spent all 3 days there because there were various talks I wanted to go to. You can buy either a single day pass or a multi-day pass. They also gave you a discount on parking, which was nice because parking's expensive at that hotel. But I didn't stay at the hotel, of course, because I'm local. Although walking around all day and standing on your feet pretty much, my feet were needing some rest about mid-afternoon, so having a hotel room might have been a better idea for me. But be that as it may, there also was at this show a little ballroom, small ballroom area where they were selling vinyl records. And there were, let's see, 5 vendors that were set up there. And unfortunately, it seemed like they weren't well trafficked. I don't know exactly. I think part of it is they were off to the side down a hallway before you got to the ballroom. So you had to kind of notice that they were there. And a lot of this crowd, although they, I'm sure there's a lot of analog love, there were a lot of equipment here that was digital sourced, and that was a big driver for most of the demos that were done. Obviously, there's a lot of flexibility in that, and I can understand why it was used from that perspective. But in fact, the biggest nod to vinyl, of course, was the cleaning booth that Charles Kermis had for his restoration process. He was pretty busy the whole time. He was cleaning records if you brought one to him. I gave him one of mine to clean, and I got to say it did an amazing job. And the booth was very active. He sold a lot of machines, I know. And so that was good to see on that side of the vinyl community. But again, some of the vendors selling vinyl, it was a bit slow, I think. Now, again, this is the first year of this. It needs more, I think, marketing, of course, and it needs some notoriety in the media and things like that, I think. Definitely was decent attendance on Saturday for sure, less on the initial day on Friday, which was, in fact, the end of spring break here in the area for people and their kids. So a lot of people were out of town still on Friday, as traffic that morning indicated. Then again, Saturday got a lot busier. Sunday was a little quieter. Sunday was St. Patrick's Day. So you could see where that might come in. But be that as it may, it was a great conference. I do want to give you an idea here of the organizers and what they particularly had in mind, why they came, and their future plans. So here's my discussion with Gary and Lou.
Well, you guys have brought something to Dallas that I've been waiting for a long time. And first, thank you very much for bringing it here. It's been a great show so far. What made you decide to come to Texas/Dallas?
My son lives here, to tell you the truth.
There you go.
And so I got to know a little bit about Dallas, and I realized that this is a great demographic for audio. There's a lot of people that love audio here, a lot of people that can afford high-end audio.
Yep.
And it's so centrally located in the country.
Right.
So it's kind of a no-brainer.
Airports, right?
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Good.
Yeah. And I got to say, Lou had the initiative and he's the one who brought it up to my attention.
The vision thing, as they used to say.
The vision, yeah, without the drugs.
Without the drugs, yeah, yeah. Right. Cool.
And it's Lou's idea, and we had a conversation and got together. And
To be fair, Gary, we develop these ideas.
Yeah,
sure.
You or I initiate, and then we build it up. It's a good teamwork, and it's been really good.
Right. So I know you sold out all the rooms in terms of that. How about the participation rate? I mean, for people like myself coming to the show, are there a lot of people from, do you know what the demo is right now, at least basically? A lot of locals?
Roughly.
Yeah, roughly.
It's been largely, around Texas, Dallas. But, I know from pre-sales, where we find out where people are from, we've got people coming in from all over the country.
Right.
Okay. So and that will happen more in coming years.
But I can tell you for sure, spoke to people today from Austin, Houston, Oklahoma City. We know we have them coming from Vegas. And then where else? I think
Florida,
New Orleans.
Oh yeah, sure.
So, yeah. I mean, we're surprised how many people from Oklahoma we have coming. Yeah. A lot of.
Well, I think Oklahoma has a big audio.
We opened the border for them, actually, so they can come to this.
Okay, a little bit of.
That's the old Texas, Oklahoma.
Yeah, it is.
It is great. But that's something that we have, been waiting for, I think, in terms of this. So, again, it's been a real benefit to the people of the area. A lot of people are wondering, is this going to be annual, every other year? What do you think?
We already signed the contract for next year at this hotel.
This is a really nice venue. It is a really nice venue.
Well, there's a reason for that, but
yeah. We already have the contract. We have a lot more rooms booked for next year.
Good. Yep.
So it'll be, God willing, it'll be a much bigger show next year.
And yeah. I know there's a lot of potential vendors that are here kind of incognito.
Okay.
They're checking out the show because they want to know the same answers.
Yes.
Are you going to have it next year? And we are. And they're checking us out. And we've got plans. So we're going
to
continue.
Our goal is to have this. It will be an annual show ongoing.
Great.
So
that's super.
If everybody's good about telling their friends and supporting the show, Dallas will have a show for as long as they want.
Good. I want to promote it myself. I want to get this out tonight so there's people who can come tomorrow and Sunday as well. Because to me, that's how you build community.
Yep.
And
I'm more of a vinyl person, but digital as well. But it's an extension of that. And I've seen a lot of great equipment here. Just really awesome things I've never heard before. I'm hearing. And that's what it's
all
about.
We're going to have more and more every year.
And you just said a word that really hits on what we do: community.
Right.
Because like I jumped into this game after 30 years of building speakers, which I still do. But I jumped into this, and the audio community has been good to me, and it is a community. And with COVID, we learned. Everybody, when they work the shows, they miss seeing their friends.
Right, absolutely.
And so we come into this with a whole attitude of, this isn't just about showing gear. It's about bringing people together for community. That's why we do things like we have the live music and we sponsor food and stuff.
That's right.
We want to bring people together and encourage that audio community because there's great friendships.
Right.
So many great friendships out of this.
And I tell you what, the audio clubs and the groups, they've been very, very helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Not only spreading the word, but we've got volunteers throughout the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And the camaraderie is amazing.
Yep.
We're very pleased.
Great.
Yep.
We thank them immensely.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that'll grow. I mean, I'd like to participate next year now that I know more and can be part of it as well. So I really appreciate the effort. And again, next year, already booked. That's great for Excellent. Knowing yes. it's going to be set. You know, I thought to myself, I live locally. I wish I'd have stayed at the hotel, though. It would have been a lot less hassle for me, that, you know.
Right, so
you,
beautiful you, hotel.
Yeah, yes. it is. Live and learn, right?
Yes. So, next year. Anyway,
yeah, next year, for sure. Well, thanks for your time, guys. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And
Thank
appreciate
you.
It very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
So there you go, right from the horse's mouth. There will be a year two. Of course, lessons learned will be taken from this one and some accommodations toward how we improve attendance, I'm sure, will be part of the strategy. And I look forward to helping Gary and Lou in that regard. The overall show, of course, is one that is, again, one where you're really experiencing some rarefied air, some boutique-type equipment, you might call it. And it's a good chance to see how different things sound. Now, I did, in fact, find some impressive-sounding equipment and some impressive-sounding speakers, more specifically. But there were times, definitely, when I heard music that I was familiar with, and the system that was there, whatever the reason, probably a combination of things, and most likely the speakers being the major contributor, that didn't sound that great to me. And so it was a lesson that we all have to learn, that dollars don't always drive pleasure. You don't always find that just because something is more expensive in and of itself, that it is going to be more pleasing to you. And that's an important lesson to learn and perspective to have. Matching equipment, matching components to the type of music we listen to the areas in the musical range that we best like the sound of, whether it's the lower end, the mid-range, the voices, the high end, whatever it might be. You need to find compatibility across the equipment that's used, starting at the source, whether it's a digital source or it's an analog source, whether that be tape or a turntable playing records through a cartridge. Again, those transducers, the cartridge and the speakers, have the most impact on the overall sound. Certainly the other elements contribute as well. But when you weight it out and really look at where the variability can impact the nature of the sound, definitely that source, and in the case of a turntable, the cartridge, and of course the speakers, which is what you're listening to, make the biggest difference. So I say all this to say that there were systems that were tens of thousands of dollars that, you know, even if I had tens of thousands of dollars to buy them, I wouldn't, because to my ears, for my taste, for what I like, they didn't do that much for me. And there were some that did, and some of those weren't as expensive as some of the others. So again, listening and appreciating and getting to listen to things you know and understand very well is important. One of the most frustrating things to me, in a way, is when I walk into a room that's doing that and they're playing something that I can't relate to at all. You know, I have to come back. I have to come back at a time when I can maybe ask them to play something that is more in my wheelhouse, so to speak. So you do have to compete with that a bit. I mean, I saw some small speakers that were maybe, let's say, 10 across by 15 high by maybe 18 deep, that if you closed your eyes, you would never guess that small, and I'm speaking inches there, that you would never, ever find something you would think would sound that good in that small of a speaker. But these two speakers, the pair, were $4,000. But I can tell you, the sound of them was amazing for what you got. And they weren't even placed as well as they could be. They really belonged in the corner of a room to get a little more oomph through the small four portholes that were in the speakers that were used to drive out some of the air from it. And again, they didn't have anything behind them to act in that way, so their bottom end didn't even sound as full as it could. So there's a lot of things where you have to realize size doesn't always matter, and you don't always have a situation where the most expensive thing is always going to mean that it sounds better. And I think that's a good takeaway from experiencing this, is to learn that. And the other thing is to get a perspective. I mean, your system may be a few thousand dollars, and those systems may be tens of thousands of dollars. So is the delta between them, the difference between them, enough to justify the difference in cost? So it made me appreciate the system that I have for sure, but it also showed me that there's more in there that I could be getting out of what's in there. Definitely, there were areas where there was so much more imaging and capability of the speaker to really respond and give some openness to the sound that maybe gets cut short on the speakers that I have and the system that I have. So certainly, I realize there's more that can be gotten. It always then is a matter of what can we afford to do, and what is the return on your investment for jumping up many, many steps potentially in cost. But certainly, there were some fabulous products that were there. I'd encourage any of you who are in the areas anywhere near where they do have these shows. Expona is being held in the Chicago area in Schaumburg, Illinois, from April 12th through the 14th here next month. So if you want to go to that one, it's AXPONA.com, and you can register there if it's something that you might want to attend, or if you're in that area. This is a similar type show to this particular Southwest Audio Fest. Much more established show, larger show, which would give you much more visibility to a variety of equipment. And then the two that that Gary and Lou run, Pacific Audio Fest, September 6th through the 8th this year, and that, I believe, is in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle area. And the Capital Audio Fest 2024 is November 8th through the 10th at the Hilton Rockville in Rockville, Maryland. And these are very well-attended shows. They've been around a long, long time and very well represented by the manufacturers and distributors as well. So again, thank you for joining me on this vinyl community podcast. Although there wasn't maybe as much vinyl in this show as I'm used to, it was in fact an audio feast. And I think that I appreciated the fact that this was brought to our town and the effort that it takes to do it. And if there was one that comes near you, I'd encourage you to support it. So for now, thanks for listening, and take care, everybody.